San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you live from La Vie, La Valencia Hotel in beautiful La Jolla with It's Your Money and Your Life. And my co-host is the main man of the hour. He is an accomplished marathon runner. He is a family office advisor to several high net worth families. He's a core and strategic, core member of Strategic Trusted Advisors Roundtable. And a marathon. What did I leave out there, Richard Muzio? Good evening. How are you tonight?
Doing well, Joe, and I think we need to turn the microphone up just a little bit.
Really? Can you?
Yeah, we do. About three notches.
Okay.
There we go.
How's that? Better? Are you getting feedback there? Okay. We'll turn his
I'm
down.
Doing well, but I will.
Okay. How's that? Better?
Yeah, better.
Okay. Good, good, good.
So we said hi to a couple of our friends. Mm-hmm. George Takei was on our show earlier this year, along with LaToya Jackson of the Pride Parade. I was down there running the 5K. Before the parade. So George says hi. It was good to see them. That event had about 200,000 people. Incredible.
Yeah, it's probably one of the biggest events of the year in San Diego. So, Richard, some cool things here at La Valencia. Tonight we are hearing out in La Sala Lounge, the beautiful La Sala Lounge, with the Whitney Shea Trio. And she's terrific playing a lot of our favorite golden oldies and whatnot and great jazz music. So you may be hearing some of that in the background during our show tonight. And then something else cool coming up at the La Jolla Playhouse for pretty much the month of August. Opening August 6th is Second City presents The Good, the Bad, and the I-5. And that'll be there all the way to September 1st.
I've never seen the word good used in connection with I-5 before, but bad. Well, usually it's a four-letter word
yes.
with the I-5, not a three-letter word.
Yes. So anyway, I forgot to mention we're being heard with 50,000 watts of power all the way up to Seattle on a good night. I won't get into the counties winning because we've got a great show. I've been dreaming of doing something like this probably since I'm 10 years old because that's when I first started watching The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And tonight, if people haven't been to our website at iymoney.com and haven't learned yet, but we have a former Tonight Show producer for 20 years. He runs the JohnnyCarson.com website. He's in charge of all the archives from The Tonight Show from 72 to 92. He's a pilot, and he's a good guy. And his wife are here. His wife is here too. His name is Jeff Sotzing. So, Jeff, good evening. How are you tonight?
Joe, thank you, and I appreciate you having me here.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
There?
Yeah, you're on there.
Yeah, I can't hear myself.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is really great. You drove down from L.A., and we're gonna put you up at the. At La Valencia tonight,
like
a beautiful
First
room.
Class.
And it's just a real pleasure to be have you here. How are you related to Johnny?
I am Johnny's nephew.
Right.
My mother's brother.
Okay. So Johnny's mother was, wait a minute, your mother?
My grandmother.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. All right. Gotcha. So, and then born and raised where, and then how did you find up, so it's a little delay. Okay.
Yeah. I'm a... From Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
grew up in. There you go. I grew up in Levittown, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in grade school, my uncle was a host of a game show in New York. Who do mm-hmm. you trust?
Ah, that's right.
And about when I was 10 years old, he took over the Tonight Show,
mm-hmm.
and I was able to go and visit the show a lot when I was a kid.
Huh. So are you having trouble with your audio, you're saying?
Yes, a lot of reverb.
Reverb, okay. Dan, what can we do about that? This is live radio, folks. So. Bring the local down, okay. Is that for me or for him? Okay, bring his bring his microphone up.
There's a reason this is called Live from La Vie, because it is.
Now I'm getting reverb, for God's sake.
Yep.
Richard always sounds great.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll work on it. So bring the local down. Is that it, Dan?
So is that better for you?
I love live radio, everybody. Now I'm getting my own echo back, for God's sake.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Turn my local down. All right. Gotcha. Okay. I see.
So
all right. How's that? You
I
guys
think we're on the right track.
Yeah.
Okay.
Technology.
All right. Anyway. We're on the air here at the La Valencia, as we said, and in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So how did you get from Philadelphia to Burbank?
You know, basically, I went in the service in the early 70s, and when I got out of the service, I moved to Mammoth Lakes, California, to play in a rock and roll, if you can believe it. And at a family get-together, I talked to Johnny about the fact that I'd been going to college in Pasadena, and a few months later, he called and said that there's an opening at the Tonight Show for a summer job, and I took it, and I stayed 17 years.
Wow. How do you like that?
So did you start working for him on the East Coast before he moved out to Burbank?
I didn't start on the East Coast, but I did go to the show often because I was living in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And my Uncle Dick, his brother, was the director of the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm getting an echo too now, Dan. Now, what do I do about that? Okay. All right. That sounds better.
It's yeah, guys, off, it's a huge delay for me here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan, why don't we take a break right here, and we'll come back and get this figured out. Okay.
It's your money and your life. We'll be right back.
Live from La V. Boy, it definitely is live from La V with It's Your Money and Your Life with Johnny Carson's nephew, head of Carson Entertainment Group, Jeff Sotsing.
Sorry about that.
And I am still getting an echo, Dan. I'm going to turn my...
You know, they have color TV now.
I'm going to turn this down and this up. Try that.
We never let Joe go near the computer.
Anyway, folks, ever. You know, all the music we're using tonight during the breaks is the Doc Severinsen Tonight Show Band. And I think you recorded those albums, when, in 87,
right,
Jeff?
Those are two terrific albums. I mean, that band was the heart and soul of that show.
Yeah.
You know, they'd play during the breaks, and they'd back everybody up live. There was nothing that was played from track. It was really exciting to be in that studio when that band was playing.
A lot of folks don't know this, but if you were in the studio, Richard, did you ever go up and see the show at all? Or?
You know, I never did. My grandmother used to love the show.
Yeah.
But I'm a lot younger than you guys.
Oh, not that much. Not that
much. Your grandmother, please.
But the folks have to know that the Tonight Show band would play during the entire commercial breaks.
Right.
So
right.
You got treated to some really first-class, phenomenal music. And that's why when they would come back from the commercial, everybody would be applauding wildly. Well, it was probably mostly for the band music that they'd been hearing.
So. Yeah, they go crazy.
Yeah, I used to go up on the show quite a bit, and actually in June, we were talking about this at dinner earlier, in June of 77, I mean, I know we're going back quite a few, how many years is that, Richard? You're in the college.
77, it'll be 36 years.
That's correct.
Wow, I am impressed. Wow.
That is correct. Anyway, I got to go up to the Tonight Show with a guest, Sam Blotner,
sure,
who is a regular since like 63, and later that year, I sent... some funny material to his town coordinator and said, hey, if Johnny ever wanted to use it, you know, you're welcome to it. And lo and behold, October 12th, I turned on the Tonight Show, and Dan, what did I hear?
I haven't got it definitely, but when I do, I will bring in documented evidence that I am related to William Tell.
Well, then we can take your trumpet and blow an apple off your head.
Or something like that.
I got a letter from a fellow by the name of Joe Vecchio.
There you go. There you go. So Johnny went on to use my material and killed with it. So.
Now, do we owe you some money from that? Is that why you're having me here?
Well, you could send a couple of bucks, you know, check for 25
right.
bucks.
Well,
tell
sure
a story about,
sure.
Now Johnny would send Letterman material, right?
And, well, yeah.
And right. He would get checks back for...
Well, it's funny because last few years of Johnny's life, he would come up with a monologue joke that was funny. He would pick up the telephone and call David Letterman's secretary, and she would write down the monologue joke and submit it to Dave. And if they used the joke, they actually would send him a check for like $69. So he had a stack of checks as, you know, Johnny Carson...
Probably never even cashed him, right?
Never cashed him. Freelance writer, David Letterman.
That's good.
And in fact, when he Letterman, as a tribute, mm-hmm. took all those monologue jokes and wove them all together and created a single monologue that was nothing but material written by Johnny Carson. It was wow. It was really flattering. It was
yeah.
wonderful. Yeah.
So now you took over. Well, you were producer from 72 to 92. And then,
No. I was a producer for about the last 4 years.
Oh, last 4 years?
I started as a gopher. I was
okay. You were
sort of on staff. Yeah, then I was a production assistant. Did all the commercials with Ed McMahon. Fed the Alpo dog.
And then
help drink.
Hey,
the
let me ask
fertilizer.
You about that. Now, some people think that was actually a setup, but John, that was an ad lib. I mean, the dog wouldn't eat the dog. Remember this, Richard?
Yeah.
No,
Ed's doing a thing. Come here, Fido, whatever. And the dog wouldn't eat it. And here comes Johnny on all fours. Starting to pretending he's eating the dog food. Now, did he ad-lib that?
It's like three guys doing radio and they can't hear themselves. Can you imagine? That never happens. No.
Of course, I'm sweating. Johnny didn't sweat much. I'm sweating.
It's 60 degrees here and you're sweating.
That's right. I'm glad I opened the window. But anyway, that was an ad-lib, though, right? I mean,
no, part of the deal, it's funny. If you look at the early shows, you see Ed kind of moving further and further off camera because he knows when we get close to the commercial, he has to run around behind the set and do the commercial, whether it's Alpo or Joe Vaughn or Budweiser beer, and he would do these cheesy little live commercials. That was part of the deal.
Right.
So Ed obviously sneaks around and he's feeding the dog, and the studio audience can see the monitors. They can see that the dog is not eating, and Johnny can see that the dog is not eating. So he just, on his own, got up and walked around. And
I think Ed was sweating that night.
Ed was sweating that night. Yeah.
So John, you remember that bit, Richard?
Yeah, I remember that. So he had a 30-year run, right? Roughly.
Yeah. 62 to 92.
62 to 92. So how many hours of material is that? Roughly, do you know?
4,500.
Wow. 4,500
episodes.
4,500 episodes.
Yeah.
Times
okay.
90.
Well, he was 90 minutes, then later, but near the end, it was 60 minutes going from memory, right?
Yeah. He's actually doing 140 hour 45 at some early on, too.
Okay.
Very beginning.
So
the show.
That's a ton of material.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people to talk to 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the first 10 years of the show are gone, right?
Yes.
So NBC, in their wisdom, used to roll over the tapes and use them for other shows or whatever, whatnot.
In fact, there's a little sheet that are in the old tapes that is as a pass sheet, and it shows you what was recorded. And it's the Tonight Show 1962, Tonight Show 63, Hullabaloo, Shindig. And you gotta be kidding,
yeah.
Now, I saw the PBS special. Apparently, was it 2-inch tape down the salt mines or below Kansas, like a mile under the earth?
Everything is there.
Wow. Yeah. Those are 2-inch tapes? And
2-inch tapes and 1-inch tapes.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's all same humidity, same temperature.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's fireproof, floodproof.
But now all those are you have been digitized.
Right.
Wow.
All in spindle media, searchable.
Unbelievable.
So question, when you utilize some of the material or license it, some of the guests who are still living who are on, back then they probably looked pretty young and good, and now that they, or maybe they didn't like the way they looked, back then now. I mean, do you ever get any objections from showing some material if somebody, for example, wasn't really happy with what the output was back in 1979 or whatever?
No. It's funny. Mike was asking me that earlier about what type of permission you need to get to rerun this stuff. And you do need permission, and everybody wants to have it run.
They want to have it run. That's what I figured.
Nobody says no.
Yeah.
Well, now the Bobby Riggs, Billie Jean King film that's coming out later this year, they did license some
I figured they must have.
Yeah,
because I remember that episode where Bobby was hitting tennis balls with Johnny, and then there was a cardboard cutout of Billie Jean behind a curtain that he
well, they opened it up, yeah.
Opened it up, and
they were starting to rocket some of the tennis balls.
Right.
But I watched the monologue there. Johnny comes out with a tennis racket and a bucket of water for some reason, and I don't know, something didn't go right in the monologue, and he goes over to Ed, and it wasn't a full bucket, but, I mean, he threw water on Ed, and Ed takes, they come back for, after the monologue, and Ed wasn't there, so I guess
If you keep sweating, Joe, I'm going to pour the rest of this Evian on your head, just so you know.
Well, it is humid.
Forewarned is forearmed.
It is a little bit humid. It is a little bit humid. I need to lose some weight anyway, so why not? Hey, Don Rickles used to sweat. He did pretty damn well for himself. Sure.
Rickles is still doing good. I saw him up at Pala in February. He's still doing good for a guy who's 86.
Isn't he amazing?
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And Tony Bennett's still performing, and he was on the show.
Doc is still performing?
Yeah. Well, Doc, I've mentioned
86.
He performed at the San Diego Pops Orchestra, I believe, last summer.
Wasn't Rickles one of your uncle's favorite substitutes when?
Oh, yeah. I mean, because Don Rickles used to be in the lounge at the Sahara Hotel when Johnny was performing in the 60s.
Okay.
And it's funny, and Bette Midler would be his opening act.
Really?
Wow.
Bette Midler? Yeah.
And that And she was Johnny's closing act, for God's sake. That was the last the last guest he had in 92 was Bette Midler singing that song. Boy, that was a tearful.
You guys won an Emmy for that last show, right?
Yep.
That's what I thought.
It was wonderful.
I remember
that. Is it on your mantle at home? Or
it's, it's on my piano.
Well, how about that?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
That's quite an accomplishment.
But
thank you.
See, the crowd is cheering. I can hear it in the background.
I like that.
Actually, we were going to put Jeff up, courtesy of La Vie. Jeff and his beautiful wife are going to spend the night at La. I convinced them to stay. They were going to go back. I go, we should try to accommodate you. And
this is a gorgeous place.
It didn't take much arm twisting, let me tell you.
This is incredible.
We're very thankful. It's beautiful.
It's so much better being here than the studio, with the exception of the technical difficulties.
Well, I think we've got that figured out
now.
Figured out, so... You know, you gotta buy American. That's all I'm saying. I don't know, but
you gotta go out. You can't rent it. You gotta go out and buy this.
That's right. Exactly.
So, Jeff, question: your uncle was a pretty good magician, wasn't he?
He was. He was a great magician.
So, would he entertain you guys when you were kids, or what was the story behind
that? That's funny that you say that, because people say to me, you know, what was it like having a famous uncle growing up? And my earliest recollection of him is at holidays. Mm-hmm. Where I was, you know, in grade school, and he would come down and do magic for all of us.
Wow.
You know, pull an egg out of your ear or
put
a rope back together. And he loved sleight of hand. You know, when we would book magicians, if you went to Johnny's office to try and find him, he was always gone, because he was down in the magician's dressing room working on the latest trick.
Learning everything he could. That's neat.
Yeah. He loved it. He did it all his life. In fact, if you went to his office, he had a black velvet magician's table, or a board, I guess they called it, and three coins, and he would always be manipulating the coins while he was talking to you and working on his cards and shuffling cards back and forth. He loved magic.
The great Carsoni. That's
the great Carsoni?
I think his first gig, he got $25 for a Rotary Club or
something.
Is it a youngster?
That's right, in Nebraska.
How about that?
University of Nebraska, right?
Yep.
He's got to be one of the most famous alum.
Yep.
Did he – now, Jack Parr, when he was doing the show, everyone thought, oh, my God, who's going to replace Jack Parr? Guys have a nervous breakdown every other night on the show. He walked off the show at one point in time.
You know how that feels, Joe. You just double tat on that.
But did Johnny immediately accept, or was there some trepidation?
No, I think that he felt the same way, that these are big shoes to fill, and Parr is a unique personality, and the situation was that ABC would not let him out of his contract for Who Do You Trust. So when Parr left, there was a period of about 4 or 5 months when they had Regis Philbin, Jerry Lewis, Joey Bishop. I can't remember all the different people that hosted. And I think that was a nice thing, because it gave the audience a break from Jack Parr and gave Johnny time to kind of build himself. And, you know, it took a while for him to click, but he is a unique person, and I think he did a pretty good job.
When I let Diane Bell know, she's a local columnist here for our paper, and let her know that you were coming on the show, she immediately replied about that when Joan Embry was on, and the marmoset relieving himself on Johnny's head.
I remember that.
Oh, my God. I mean, see what people remember? I mean, the laughs this guy generated, you know, and who could plan for these things? But
you know, that wasn't scripted, just in case you didn't know.
Well, he's the master of the take. I mean,
But when a marmoset's got to go, a marmoset's got to go.
Yeah, right,
so
exactly.
That's how that goes.
And I'll tell you another question that's been on my mind, because he got interviewed, I think by Barbara Walters or somebody, but there was one day, I guess, one of his close friends in the industry passed away, and I don't know which wife he was married to at the time, but she said he stayed in the house and cried all day, and my guess it might have been Jack Benny.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I'm pretty sure it was Jack
Benny. Yeah,
because she wouldn't say at the time, but I know they were very close. But folks, on Turner Classic Movies, every Monday night, we get it at 5 o'clock on the West Coast, I believe, and 8 o'clock Eastern, but they're playing an hour of Johnny's best interviews, right?
Every
Monday.
They're 10-minute interviews with primarily film stars.
Mm-hmm.
And they've taken five of the best ones and tied them together with an introduction by Conan O'Brien to make two one-hour specials. But these will run on Turner Classic Movies for the next couple of years.
Wow.
Yeah,
they're
great.
Funny. George Burns was on the other night. I mean, it was great. He comes out. He's 93. He was smoking a cigar. And he sits down and he goes, now, Johnny said, now, George, how many cigars is that for you today? Is that, he goes, this is my 10th or 11th cigar. He goes, what is your, doesn't your doctor? He goes, my doctor's dead. So
he's great, isn't he? It's so funny. Such great stories.
The guy's 93 and he just,
By the way, speaking of Jack Benny, we sort of stole the name of this radio show from Jack Benny.
We sure did. Yeah. Because originally it was It's Your Money, Not Theirs, and I said, we ought to give tribute to Jack Benny. So
we did.
It's
right.
In July. So. But, gosh, so many great memories.
So who was your uncle's favorite guest of all time? Did he have one or not?
I don't think he had a favorite guest, but I think that he liked people who were prepared. He liked Steve Martin. He liked Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. He liked people that were really good at what they did. Rodney Dangerfield, Gary Shandling. All those great comedians.
He also was great with these, look at the kids with the bird calls from that Needles, wherever they school there from. Every year they come out and do the bird calls.
Be my bird call.
Mm-hmm.
Is that funny? Yeah.
And Sam Blotner, who knew Sam Blotner? But, he just would have fun with some of these nondescript people. And the lady with the potato chips, I mean, everyone remembers that. And there was a guy, now this would be great because we just had this seagull issue here or whatever, but the guy who made jewelry out of bird waste,
Frank
right?
Frank Hill. Yes, quail
exactly.
Droppings.
Exactly. Anyway, I think we've got to take a break here, don't we, Dan? All right, we'll come right back. More Extreme Money in Your Life right after this. Wow, we are back live from La Vie with Doc Severinsen and the Tonight Show Band. That is In the Mood, probably the best opening for that song you'll ever hear in your life. And there you have it. Back with Richard Musio to thank some sponsors. Richard.
Thank you to the sponsors. Obviously, the lovely La Valencia Hotel. As you all know, we are live from La Vie with technical difficulties and everything included. Great place. Our guest will be spending the night here tonight.
Thank you. Nothing better than hearing the show twice in the same moment.
Our sponsor, UBS, Mr. Michael Caronta from UBS, actually is in studio tonight since his office is just down the street here on Prospect Street in La Jolla. Mike Caronta and Drew Freitas with UBS. Regions Bank, Sean Puckett and Steve Sefton, best business bankers here in San Diego, right across the street from the La Valencia Hotel. Cost Segregation Initiatives with Joel Grushkin, helping real estate owners improve their cash flow. Carl Sheeler and Business Valuations, helping businesses and business owners improve the values of their businesses. San Diego's best estate planning attorney, Rich Gaines with Family Legacy Legal. Jason Kruger with Signature Analytics, CFO Services. And our favorite CPAs on the planet, Polito Epic. CPAs, Don Epic and Paul Polito. And Joe, how can our listeners find out more about our wonderful sponsor?
Well, if they get over to iymoney.com on their smartphone or PC or whatever they're using and click on sponsors, all their great information will be there, their bios, their phone numbers, everything. And they're not just sponsors out of the phone book. They're all great colleagues of yours, Richard, right?
They are. We've known each other for so long that when I quote how many years the cumulative amount of business is, we all get very depressed at how old we are, so I'm not going to do that.
Been in Funkin' Wagnall's jar since noon today.
So, Joe, question for you. What does an alligator...
No, question for you. Yes.
What does an alligator get that's on welfare?
I give up. What is that?
That was Gatorade. I think that was a Karnak the Magnificent joke.
Oh, sis boom ba. I'm just going to cut some inputs on just for that
there
one.
You go. There you okay. Okay.
But well, you cut me out entirely after that one.
Anyway,
that's right.
We wanted to, Dan in the studio wanted to talk about when that tiger took a swipe. Johnny was going to play with that tiger. Is that Joan Embry? Or?
Yep.
Wow. And,
Siberian tiger. Right.
And,
he jumps into Ed's arms.
And I want my, no, did he say I want my Nana? No, that's what he said the first night of
that's
the show,
right.
I think.
That's right. That was his opening remarks.
Right.
All those animal bits were not planned. They just happened. But he was so good at the take.
Right. Was,
and he could play that so well.
And react.
And now, react terrifically, yeah.
Now, he was the first, I think she was the first one to come out with animals on any kind of talk show. And then, of course, there were the
Jim Fowler.
Yeah.
Jim Fowler came out.
Yeah.
Marlon Perkins.
And then they started, the other talk shows started to copy. Speaking of other talk shows, I mean, come on. Today, and I don't watch much of Conan O'Brien. I'd say his set might be closest to honoring what the Tonight Show did, but I just don't see anybody else out there in that kind of format. Now, there's, Colbert and John
Are there
Stewart
other talk shows on the air right now?
Oh, my God.
There?
Everybody.
How long has that been happening?
Everybody. I got to say this, Chelsea Lately. Now, I know Ed liked Craig Ferguson a bit.
Yep.
But this Chelsea Lately, as a matter of fact, although I might be a little too irreverent, but, for spontaneity and being funny. Do you ever watch her at all, Richard? Or
I like Chelsea. Like Chelsea.
Yeah, I bet you do.
But Jeff, we quoted our website, johnnycarson.com. Is that where people can find you?
Yeah, well, that's where you can find Johnny Carson DVDs, entertainment product. Yeah, you bet. johnnycarson.com.
How many DVDs are out there right now, would you say?
14. We're trying to get rid of all of them tonight. No,
and if you act before midnight.
There's probably two dozen or so different DVDs. We have another DVD release that has just come out, which is the Vault series.
Uh-huh.
So we're trying to go back and get old original shows from as early as possible. And as kind of a bonus feature, we have the 10th anniversary show, which has just been released.
Huh.
That's not a compilation show. That's just celebrities and entertainers stopping by to wish him a happy 10th anniversary in 1972.
I'm telling you, the last 2 months of this, if you can get the last month or last 2 months when they knew he was retiring.
Yeah, May.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, every major celeb was paraded out there. And I loved that. I love Bob Newhart. Please don't go, John. Grab the sleeve. I mean, that was great.
Well, that was tough because, you know, every night the audience and the ovations got longer and longer and longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after the Bette Midler-Robin Williams show, we had a meeting and Johnny just said, there's no way I can even go out tomorrow night. How can we top that? That was so unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it was great.
The very last show was just him, like an anniversary show, doing some of the famous clips, right?
Yeah, just clips and sitting on the stool center stage saying goodbye. It was very emotional. It was an unbelievable time.
So have you done DVDs where you've pulled material together from, you know, one of his characters, like a Carnac the Magnificent DVD or a Floyd R. Turbo American DVD?
No, you know, we have compilation DVDs of all those segments. So there's characters, there's animals, there's sketches, little monologue piece. But, and we also have single shows, and then we have kind of a theme where we have comedians and country western theme.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Because I want to know what Floyd R. Turbo thought of last week's guest, but I'm not going to mention
Turbo.
We'll be here to do a rebuttal of that.
Oh, that was great with the ear flaps and all. That was terrific.
Right. All his characters.
Yeah.
So let's see. The foundation.
John W. Carson Foundation.
John W. Carson Foundation. So when your uncle passed, he basically directed a lot of his net worth into the foundation. What kind of work or what kind of service does the foundation do?
They do child care, homeless issues, primarily in Los Angeles and also in Nebraska, education. We're very big into charter schools. It's amazing. Johnny would see an organization or a story about someone in need on the news or in the paper, and he would just write a check for $50,000 or $100,000. And he had a wide range of people that he would donate to. And there's three of us on the board, and we tried to emulate the way that he distributed his money, and he left a tremendous amount of money to the foundation. It's a great thing. Yeah, it's really
neat stuff.
Really
now, I thought the set and everything would have gone back to the Smithsonian, but you said a private collector has the set.
James Commissar has the Carnac turban, has the Tonight Show set, has the Tonight Show curtain, has the band set, and then I have some of his costumes. I have Aunt Blabby and Floyd Turbo and Art Fern, and I'm actually going to be meeting with some people at the Smithsonian next week, actually, to talk about donating that material to the Smithsonian.
Wow. So I thought they would have some already. So, but anyway, when did you first start working on the tapes and archives? Were you still with the show when you were doing that, or was it?
Well, when I was working on the show, one of my jobs was to work with Peter LaSalle to put the anniversary shows together.
Ah.
And that time, they did not have good records of any of the material.
Mm.
So we actually bought a computer for the Tonight Show in 1980. We were the only computer on the show. It was DOS 1.0. Big stuff. And we basically had to go back and from paper records, input data on each individual show. And from 1980 to 1992, we actually input that information on a nightly basis.
Wow.
So when we went off the air in 1992, we had a tremendous database of all the material that was on the show. And that's how we were able to create the first home video product, which was a VHS product.
Really?
Yeah, and that morphed into DVD.
And I think I've got a set of those.
Do you? Yeah.
In addition to the DVD, so
I can make you deal out a Betamax copy.
But let's see, what else? I mean,
who were some of the famous performers that Johnny basically helped launch their career?
Oh, God, several. Oh, I mean, dozens.
Leno.
Leno, okay.
Letterman.
Yeah. I still remember the green
Shandling.
Yeah. I mean, Burt Reynolds, Dolly Parton.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Okay.
Mac Davis.
Mac Della's guy, sure.
I mean, you get a spot on The Tonight Show, and if he waves you over or, if you get to come back. You're pretty much going to get some work. So.
You'd be working in Las Vegas the next day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's amazing.
So what were some of your favorite moments from the show, I mean, personally?
Well, I think I liked it when he had to recover when things were going bad.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go back to our, database,
I know about that.
that never happens, does it? You can see in the later years that he'll do the monologue and it's not going well. And I'm laughing in the background and he will turn and say, you think that's funny, huh, Sasek? Yeah. he used to do a promo in the show in the last commercial break. And the stage manager would come out with a card and the promo would be something like, tonight is Shelley Winters, Sean Conray, and so, join us at 11 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
So at this particular show, I was producing the show with Peter LaSalle, and I was standing next to the monitor. And the guests were Shelley Winters, Sean Connery, and a bee expert, like a bumblebee expert.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Frank Lee, let's say.
Uh-huh.
So Johnny said, join us tonight. Our guests will be Shelley Winters, Sean Connery, and bee expert Frank Lee. And he said, Jeff, how do you become a bee expert? And I should have said, have a bee average. You gotta be pretty good at what you do. And I said, I think he has a college degree. there was a long pause.
Long
and said,
pause.
See? Not easy, is it? It was great.
You need to be a little buzzed to come up with a good answer.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway.
Did his retort sting?
Sure, easy for you guys sitting in the hotel here.
Yeah, exactly. there's so many memories and thoughts come to mind.
Is it true that he threw Rickles in a bathtub full of water once on one show?
He did, yeah. Threw them in the
Geisha girl thing.
Geisha girl thing,
okay.
Yeah. Japanese bath.
Some of that stuff, I mean, he kind of had to know he was going to be going in the bath, too, at some point, right?
Well, there's a little discussion about that, whether he knew that or didn't know that. But like the Ed Ames tomahawk, when he throws the tomahawk and Johnny...
Into the crotch of the wooden thing.
And Ed Ames is obviously shocked that happened and goes to retrieve the tomahawk. Johnny grabs him and holds him there.
That's right.
And waits. And, nobody does that anymore. It's terrific.
And, of course, he said, I didn't even know he was Jewish to get the big ad lib there. But remember how he had to wait? He was playing with the axes, waiting for the crowd to stop laughing. Because he never would have heard the line. So
is the rumor true that because he had Twister on his show?
That's true.
That Twister became very, very popular right after that?
They played it, yeah.
Who did he play with? Do you remember?
Ava Gabor.
Oh, Ava Gabor. Okay.
Oh,
Ava Gabor.
God.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And the creator of Twister just passed away.
I just heard about that.
2 days ago.
Yeah, he was quite the inventor. So.
Yeah.
But, Dan, what do you say we take our break and been coming into the last break here, and we'll come back with more of Live from Lavi. It's Your Money and Your Life. So stay tuned, everybody. We are back with the last short segment of It's Your Money and Your Life, Live from Lavi. And, boy, I'm going to be sad to see this show end. So, Jeff.
Yes.
Uncle Johnny thought he might try singing at some point.
Yes.
What happened with that Rhinestone Cowboy thing?
I think that cracked
me up.
He fell off the donkey. It was not a good thing, right? I think that he, always wanted to be a singer. And there's a number of moments where he... impromptu broke into song. Pearl Bailey, and he did a great number, Our Love Is Here to Stay. Steve Lawrence and Johnny did a number, Our Love Is Here to Stay. He did a little bit with Tony Bennett, but then he sang Rainy Day and played the guitar at the same time.
So. Outstanding.
But I think he knew what he did best, which is the monologue.
Well, we certainly missed him. I had the thought during the break that maybe you ought to go on the road, take some of these clips, get in front of live audiences, answer questions about the show and your uncle and what you do. And, I think there'd be a big appreciation for that. Don't you think
it would,
Michael?
It would be huge because of the demographic out there that exists that still remembers.
I mean, I guess
I mean, as a legacy piece, that would be incredible.
Yeah, he had a tremendous bond with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you were over, what would you say, if you're over 45, you got over 40?
Yeah, over 40.
Well, yeah. Yeah,
and, over 40.
That's your crowd, right, Michael? The over 40 crowd.
Michael doesn't have a microphone, Joe.
I know, but
okay.
He could nod. We have in studio with us also Michael Carranza from UBS, one of our wonderful sponsors. So always great to have him here.
So, Jeff, question. This is sort of a business show. You know, your uncle left a great foundation, the John W. Carson Foundation.
He did.
But obviously everybody's getting older. How do you perpetuate his legacy through the generations? I mean, you're, what, mid-50s like me? You're not going to be here forever either. I mean, have you guys had to work through those kinds of issues about what this thing might look like 50 and 100 years from now? I'm just curious.
You know, we do, but funny is funny, and good stuff is good stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm constantly told by young people who are doing research for television shows or movies, people that did not see this show and are seeing it for the first time, how much they appreciate it, you know, mm-hmm. how funny they think he is, because he had great timing, and he's a genuinely funny guy, and... you know, we try to get this material out through different media to make it available, and I think it will stand the test of time. It's mm-hmm. good stuff.
Was he a funny guy hanging around the house, or did he like to be by himself, too?
Hysterical.
Hysterical. Okay.
Oh, so funny.
And I just think there was a bigger talent pool of celebrities and stars back then. I mean, really bona fide talent. I'm not just saying they're, you know, discounting, you know, the talent out there now, but it just seemed like there were more... people who had, you know, been around for several years who were talented and great on the Tonight Show. So that's my bias, but you know, that's
and I heard a rumor he got one of his or sort of a start on TV when Red Skelton knocked himself unconscious and Johnny had to fill in. Is that right?
That's right. He was a writer on the Red Skelton show.
Okay, so he wrote for Skelton. Okay,
and at CBS, and so Red was not able to do the show that night, and Johnny filled in, and that kind of launched his career at CBS. He had a show in 1955, the Johnny Carson Show for a year, and then did a couple episodes in 56, and then moved from there to New York to do Whom Do You Trust?
Okay.
Who Do You Trust?
Because I loved Red Skelton when I was a kid.
I think Steve Martin was writing for the Smothers Brothers, and he wanted to go into performing. They're trying to talk him out of it. He was making $30,000 a week then, and but he showed them, I guess. But
they were good friends, Steve Martin and Johnny. They played cards together.
Did they?
Yeah.
I think after he retired, didn't he get together regularly with Steve? Who else? He had like a small cadre of friends.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
He played cards every weekend. So
yep.
That's your guy to look forward to, Richard. Just playing cards every weekend with
Joe, your kids are 22, 21, and 17. I am never going to retire.
You're going to have to work forever.
I'm going to have to work forever.
Yes. Yes.
That's for sure. But so, Jeff, you're a pilot also. You do some goodwill work with your piloting.
And tell us about some of the missions you've done that are
I was the pilot coordinator for the Orange County Samaritans for a number of years, and we flew medical personnel down into Baja, California, mm-hmm. about near Guerrero Negro, halfway down Baja.
Sure.
And I'm not doing that right now, but I work with the John W. Carson Foundation as an advisor, and we try to distribute Johnny's wealth. So, you know, I've had a great career. I'm a very lucky guy and was presented an opportunity that I figured I should make the best of.
Right place at the right time, as they say.
Right place at the right time.
So what do you like to fly? Or what do you fly?
I actually have a Legend Cub right now, which is like a Piper Cub.
Yeah, Piper Cub. Yeah. Nice plane.
That's a new Cub. It's really beautiful.
And as far as JohnnyCarson.com and all the archives, what do you see coming on the horizon? More releases over the years?
I think there's going to be, you know, all sorts of digital elements from The Tonight Show that are going to be available, and you're going to be able to watch it on your iPad or your iPhone and get it everywhere. So it'll be exposed to a whole new audience.
Wow.
Yeah, I hope so.
What a great ride. So so you started the show in 72.
Started the show in 77.
Answering
77. Answering the phones and thought that I would just be there for a few months. Then the
Were you a student then?
Yep. I was going to Pasadena City College studying 2-inch videotape editing.
Okay.
And then I worked as a production assistant. So I worked with the commercial producer, and we would do all the live commercials with Ed McMahon backstage.
Mm-hmm.
And then did some archiving of the material to help build the anniversary shows. And that's kind of where my relationship with Johnny really took off, because I was able to suggest packages and bits for the anniversary show on a regular basis, and we had a great time working together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that really, did he get tipsy more often than not, or was that just a big put on? Because he just said the same thing about Dean Martin and apparently.
Oh, never, never on a show? No, never, never.
Really? Wasn't even one show where he had a few?
No.
Really?
No.